When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside an all-new edition of Talk of Champions. We're in the Riverland Roofing Studios. Little house up top. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. I write and talk about your Ole Miss Rebels all day, every day at the Ole Miss Spirit. OMSpirit.com, affiliate of On3. It is a casual Friday. I'm wearing my Bayside Tigers sweatshirt. We made it to the weekend. No Ole Miss game, unfortunately, this weekend, or fortunately, depending on how you're feeling on this Friday. I got five things for Friday as we roll into a Ole Miss-less weekend, as well as your questions answered. I asked for questions only on the Ole Miss Spirit message board, my website, omspirit.com, an affiliate of On3, and my subs delivered. So every one of those questions answered. Got a voicemail from another follower, listener named Tyler Keith. He left me about 13 minutes worth of a voicemail. I'm only going to play about 3 minutes of it, but he has his questions as well. That's what this casual Friday on Talk of Champions is all about. We get to kind of decompress here as Ole Miss people, be it fans, media, coaches, players. Everybody can finally flush down the toilet the latest inexplicable loss for Ole Miss football. This one, a 29-26 overtime loss at LSU. Ole Miss still has not won at LSU since 2008. We talked about all of that stuff, however, on Wednesday's show, which has gotten a pretty good response so far. And if you've got anything else you want to add or any questions you want to pose my way, always hit me up at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On3. Or you can do like Tyler Keith did, drop me an email with a voice recording, ben.garrett@on3.com, or on Twitter at Spirit Ben. You can get in my mentions and ask me your Ole Miss questions. But the first thing I wanted to start with on this Friday, and not to rub more salt in the wound here, but the numbers when you look at LSU, the loss to LSU for Ole Miss, it's that much worse a week later, because this time last week, Honey and I, my beautiful wife Emily, and I were loading up to go spend the weekend in Disney World for my friend Chip's birthday. My wife loves Disney popcorn more than any other food. So, because I still, you got to date your wife. I'm 12 years in with her. We've been together forever. I love her more than life itself. But you still got to date her. You still got to riz her up. So, knowing that she loves Disney popcorn, I got the best popcorn bucket ever. Look at this. It's a Pumbaa popcorn bucket, and it opens in the back. Isn't that ridiculously awesome? He's a sensitive soul, though he's seen thick skin. Anyway, I thought that was cool. If you go to Disney World at Animal Kingdom, dude, those things are dope. I do not want to ride Everest because it makes me sick, or Pandora because Avatar is overrated. However, the popcorn bucket, easiest $20 for my honey I've ever spent. So, I am coming down completely from that. I was reminiscing nostalgic this morning because I thought about that road trip, 10 hours through Dothan, not through Atlanta, that me and Honey took, and it wasn't particularly pleasant outside of being with her. But now, going into this weekend, there's no Lady Reds softball. There was last weekend. 5 rings and 6 tournaments. This is insane. Those Lady Reds are doing the dang thing. But Gracie does have soccer in Tupelo, so if you see me, say hello. Let's talk about your Ole Miss Rebels. I've been talking about them all morning. It's already 8:20 on this Friday, and I've been up since about 6:30, and I've been asked about Ole Miss stuff already multiple times, including in line at Scarlet Donuts to go get some donuts for the people at my church of my church family this morning. So let's talk Ole Miss stuff. All of that is on. All of that is over. LSU, Lady Reds, 5th and 6th in 6 tournaments. All of it. Disney World. It's 5-2 Ole Miss. 1-2 in the SEC. You got losses to Kentucky and LSU. Kentucky lost to Vanderbilt. LSU should have been a 45-16 win. Producer Flip did the math in the spreadsheet. We talked about that on Wednesday. So the first thing as we go further into the numbers in this first five of Fridays, I was reading, I go across the internet, and I just try to find things, stats, analytics that really jump out to me. And the first one I saw was from Hotty Toddy Recruiting on Twitter. Ole Miss has had the football in the fourth quarter for both LSU and Kentucky and leading by four or five times, two versus Kentucky and three versus LSU. Ole Miss in those drives managed a total of 3 points on those five drives. The SIP Central Offensive Player of the Week in the SEC this week was Garrett Nussmeier, the quarterback for LSU in the win over Ole Miss. But that just goes to show you awards can be misleading. The SIP Central noted how Garrett was 22 of 51, two interceptions, and a 72.9 QBR. It's not like he set it on fire. Now, he made a great play on the fourth down play, would have made it fourth and 24 had Suntarine been able to corral him. Great throw for the game winner. But this was more Ole Miss losing a game than winning it. Losing a game than LSU winning it. If you look at how Ole Miss has operated through these first seven games, the defense hasn't been the problem. Ole Miss currently is third in the country in defensive points per game, 10.6, behind only Texas of 6.3, and Army with 9.8. If I'd have told you before the year started that a Lane Kiffin defense through seven games would be only giving up less than 11 points per game, you'd say they're undefeated and the best team in the country. And yet they're 5-2 and 1-2, and the offense is the problem. We've talked about this at length. Ulysses Bentley, we finally saw the highest graded returning running back get an opportunity, and he did what he's always done, averaged 5 to 6 yards per carry, added some juice to that running game. But there are still some terrible inefficiencies in this offense that's holding it back and allowing all of the criticism, valid criticism, of Lane, the offensive guy, this week. And I don't want to pile on Lane because I think Lane's awesome. I said that on Wednesday. A lot of people were like, you need to get off of Lane's back. No, didn't get off your back when you packed out Middle Tennessee State with the second largest crowd ever, and then he turns around to SEC play and lays an egg. It's all friends and family, right, and Ole Miss holding each other accountable. I would hope that people would tell me if I'm doing something dumb. I don't think this is dumb. This isn't personal. Lane has got to get the offense fixed. He's the offensive guy. I don't care if it's about Charlie Weiss. I don't care about whatever personnel decisions got personal. But Ulysses Bentley, when reported 25 pounds overweight in the summer, and you took it personal, Lane, whatever it might be, it's on you to fix it. And we see that more and more as we look at the numbers. Here's Bruce Feldman from The Athletic, the second thing of the five things for Friday before we jump to your questions. Ole Miss averaged 671 yards in four non-cons, in those four non-cons to start the year, but just 414 yards in three games against SEC teams. Again, I said on Wednesday, those four non-cons did not adequately prepare you. Whose fault is that? The only two people that control the schedule are Keith Carter and Lane Kiffin. And let's be honest, Lane Kiffin controls it. Keith will say, all right, do you want to do this one? No, let's do that one. The non-cons didn't prepare you, and it's showing in the numbers as well. As Bruce notes, a very experienced offense has converted just 34% on fourth downs. That's 14th out of 16 teams in the SEC. And as Bruce noted, and who does this sound like? What you've heard on Talk of Champions. Lane Kiffin's got a big rep as an offensive mind, but his team got shut down at home by a 15.5-point underdog in Kentucky, which has lost its other three SEC games, and then managed just 26 points with no touchdowns after halftime in an overtime game against LSU, one of the worst defenses in the SEC. In those three SEC games, Ole Miss has managed only one touchdown combined after halftime. This is not personal, YouTube comment fan that's just standing for Lane Kiffin. I like Lane a lot. I said that multiple times on Wednesday. It's impossible not to like him. He's hilarious. He's a normal dude. I thought he'd be some mad scientist kind of guy. No, he's just a chill guy. He's like the dude in the Big Lebowski with a great offensive mind. But that great offensive mind isn't performing at the level Ole Miss needs it to in order to go win the title that everyone claimed they were chasing this year, including those in the Manning Center, the players and the coaches. So, Lane, take the weekend, man. Maybe you're in Boca. Whatever it is, You get a good detox too, a good reset, crack the neck, you know, casual Friday, wear your Bayside hoodie and figure this out. Because the numbers, I knew they were bad, but I did not know that they were this bad. I mean, this is bad. We've talked about the offensive line. The numbers there, however, are even worse. And my third thing for Friday, I saw this on the Rebel Grove message board from TireMan24. He said he pulled up all the grades from Pro Football Focus and compiled them. Jaden Williams, let me check this. I'm sorry. He's ranked 73rd in the country. Diego Pound, 63.5 grade, 249th in the country. Nate Kaleppo, 60.2 grade, 363rd in the country. Reese McIntyre, starting over a three-year, multi-year starter in Caleb Warren, as well as suggested by Joe Judge, one of your analysts, Jerquan Scott, to transfer from Southern Miss in every game at center. 59.5, good for 197th in the country. Julius Boileau, he's got a 47 grade, good for 459th in the country. Micah Pettis is 69.3, good for 143. And Micah Pettis is a great, great run blocker. But he hasn't gotten better as a pass blocker. And I'm looking at Julius Boileau, God bless him, in near 500 in the country in his pass or in his overall O-line grade. And maybe Micah Pettis needs to be tried there then. I hope that the shakeup isn't just, well, maybe we can get Jaden back. They need Jaden back. He's their best offensive lineman. I said that on Wednesday. And the numbers, as TireMan24 are so nicely compiled, bears that out. But 73rd in the country ain't nothing to sniff at. But if that's your very best offensive lineman, what about Jeremy James? Where's Jeremy James? All those things are true. So when you look at the numbers, everything we've been talking about is even worse. Now, the fourth thing for Friday, I'm not trying to be a Buzz Killington. We got to get to your questions. It's just, man, how could they be 5-2? How? This is one of the best graded all-22s in football. Kiffin's fifth-year head coach, according to SSSammyG5910 in my YouTube comments. Just simply search OM Spirit or Ben Garrett Ole Miss and you'll find me. Kiffin's fifth year as our coach, but has zero ranked SEC road wins. He's right. But he's getting treated as if he's won like Johnny Vaught. That's not the case. So when it falls on him, it falls on him. And the last thing I'll say on this Friday, I think Ole Miss is going to bounce back against Oklahoma. I don't know if I gave you a full five. Here's two more in case I didn't. I think Ole Miss is bouncing back against Oklahoma. Also, I wasn't bringing up the Hugh Freeze hypothetical because I want Hugh Freeze to come back here. Hugh and I are good now. We've talked, but I just saw him on that graphic, and I was using Hugh Freeze as a hypothetical offensive coordinator. The point was not to bring back Hugh Freeze. I don't want to do that. I think that's a bad idea. I'm simply saying Pete Golding, I don't have a preference in head coach either. Honestly, I love Clark Lea. I like a lot of program builders. I love the cat at Indiana. There's so many guys. I want Lane Kiffin to still be the head coach of Ole Miss. I want him to retire here. I want him to win a title here, as he said he was the goal, was the plan. As all people, all fans, media, coaches, players should operate as if that is the goal. Don't be satisfied with close games played against Alabama. Don't be satisfied with not having an SEC, a notable SEC top 25 road win. So I'm not going to be satisfied then. I think this is the best Ole Miss football, most interesting, most relevant Ole Miss football has ever been on a consistent basis in my 38 years of existence. This is just strictly a pro mindset. I want Lane Kiffin as the head coach of Ole Miss for as long as my man wants to stay here, so long as he can take constructive criticism about things like don't hire your friend as the offensive coordinator, or if you do hire your friend, at least know if it goes bad, it's going to fall on you, and it has. All the numbers bear it out. I don't care if Hugh Freeze is the offensive coordinator. I don't care if Pete Golding's the head coach, but I think he could be Ole Miss's Kirby Smart. That was the point. And I believe Pete would go just hire the offensive coordinator of any of those. Sonny Dykes is another one that could be on the hot seat potentially at TCU, or Lincoln Riley, or whoever it might be. Just pick one of those. I think Pete would go big game hunting. Now, there is a legitimate criticism or critique wondering whether or not Pete Golding has the coaching pool to pull from to make a hire like that. But I think, if you just ask my opinion, I do. But I am no one. I don't know shit. But that's just where I sit right now. I don't want you to be scared, Ole Miss fan, if Lane leaves, because I think Lane should be here as long as he wants to. I want him to be here as long as he wants to. He has changed Ole Miss for the better. Thank goodness. No, praise God then that he showed up with the NIL thing hit. Could you imagine had Ole Miss made a one-time Ole Miss hire like an Ed Orgeron who wasn't ready, and then the explosion of NIL. Thank God that Ole Miss went after Lane Kiffin, and he was progressive, and he said, screw the rules. Or he said, screw how the rules are changing. I'm just going to roll with the punches. Same thing with these fake injuries. This is my last thing. The fake injuries suck. They're annoying. They're lame. They're embarrassing if you're an Ole Miss fan. Everybody knows what they are. I don't begrudge Lane of that. He brought it up to the SEC. He said, guys, y'all have got to do something about this because other teams were doing it to Ole Miss. They did nothing. They sat on their hands just like they did in Ole Miss's NCAA investigative case. But unlike the Ole Miss higher-ups at the time who just said, well, this isn't fair, and tossed up their hands and said, we can't do anything, even though they could have. Lane said, all right, then we're just going to do it worse than anybody. Now, I don't think that's the right way to go about it. But if I don't begrudge him of it either, because, frankly, Ole Miss doesn't get listened to very much. And if he's got to embarrass y'all through embarrassing us, then so be it. I don't like it either. None of us like it. Lane doesn't even like it. Change the rule. You're the gatekeepers of the sport. The SEC, Greg Sankey, stop worrying about expanding the playoff further. 12 is perfect the way it is. Let us see how that one breathes before you add another six teams or whatever it's going to be. Focus on where your feet are. And Greg, you sick of that? You sick of all the fake injury stuff? Jackson Dart absolutely instructed Matt Jones to go down in that very viral clip. I could pull out any number of clips from previous games against Ole Miss for other opposing teams. And trust me, all I watch is Ole Miss football anymore. Like, I don't care about other sports that much. The Cowboys are miserable. Jerry Jones is the worst. The Braves did the thing. They won a title, and I'm good. I could die happy with that one. I want to watch them. I wanted them to win, but it's different now. Ole Miss is the last leg of this. I saw a championship with the Cowboys in 96. I was in fourth grade. It's the last one. They hadn't been back to the NFC championship game since. And that is brutal. Like, being a Cowboys fan in 2024 is not something any of us are proud of. It's torture. Everybody hates you because you were good 20 years ago, but we've been way worse than the Lions, who had the worst winning percentage, but now they're good, and they just wax the Cowboys at home. All I watch are Ole Miss games. That's the sports I watch. Football, basketball, and sometimes baseball. But baseball, they won a title in 2022. On my anniversary, as they dogpiled, honey and I kissing and telling we love each other. Happy anniversary. How amazing is that? Storybook stuff. But then everybody leaves, and you go, okay, well, that was fun. I'm hungry now. This is not personal. It is purely business. I'm going to keep saying that so that those that might get in the comment section go, stop, lay off Lane. Y'all should know better than this. Y'all have autonomy as people. Have you given money to the Grove Collective? Have you showed up for games? You are not beholden to anyone but yourself. And for in my case, I hope it's like mine, I've been around Ole Miss sports my entire life. It's what I do. It's my job. People call me Spirit Ben on the street. I don't love that. Actually, now I do. I think it's hilarious. At the time, I was like, man, call me just Ben. It's okay to hold people or hold your family members to account. It's not personal. So that's a few of the things I wanted to touch on. But number one, the Hugh Freeze thing, guys, that's totally missing the point. Pick a guy of those potential hot seat, offensive-minded guys that might have to take a coordinator job, and I think Pete would go hire the best one, and I think that is a better setup for a competitive title-contending Ole Miss than Lane and his friend. Pete's great. He's handling his side on the defensive side. I just gave you the numbers. Lane, this is an offense issue. You are the offensive guy. I'm not just saying it. The Homer Dumb Ginger Shrek isn't just saying it. Bruce Feldman quite literally just said it. He wrote it for our national audience. It's on you. It all is on you. So enjoy the weekend, this off week. Enjoy just painless, free watching football. I'll be at the soccer field cheering on my Gracie Gurley Squirrely and her Tupelo soccer team. But then I'm going to come settle in and veg out and just watch some games and hope that Ole Miss, because of its two inexplicable losses, the results this weekend, they'll still be in the thick of it because they're number 18. They're right there. Hey, Greg, if you expand the playoff again, a team like Ole Miss that doesn't deserve to be in that discussion, only for the biggest homers of homers, please, yeah, Ole Miss should be in the playoff. No, they shouldn't. They shouldn't be in the consideration, but they are. But they're on the fringe of a 12 team. If you expand it further, then all the Ole Misses that you might even think don't belong. We're already having a topic of conversation on national shows, like on 3, Andy and Ari. I love that show. Go check it out. Andy Staples and Ari Wasserman. They're already talking about how teams that are being included in projections for the playoff this year don't belong. And Ole Miss is the team that is, I saw ranked this week, number one in what-if teams of the year. Already, that's brutal. And yet, they're right in the thick of it. You expand the playoff, well, they're a shoo-in. No one's leaving out that team. Lane Kiffin, the marketing alone. I'm still trying to preserve the spirit of the thing in college football and Ole Miss. I want Ole Miss to win a title. I want Lane to be the head coach as long as he's doing his best job, being paid among the best in the country, and getting the support from everyone in Oxford. Everyone. But let me ask you, Ole Miss fan, going, leave Lane alone. Whose fault is it? You want to hold me to account? I don't do shit to impact the wins or losses of Ole Miss on the field. Who do you blame? Who do you point to? Keith Carter? He's the one, him and Marker Jones, they raised all the money for all of the resources, be it official or unofficial capacity, for Lane to go get players, player procurement. What are we talking about here? If you don't like my opinions, that's fine. I claim fully that I'm an absolute idiot. You can disagree with me, but I'm going to turn around and ask you in the same way you went, Ben, you know better than to say that about Lane. No, you know better than to just kowtow to authority. Are you shitting me? You have some autonomy. Now let's get to your questions. From the Ole Miss Spirit message board, starting with one, basketball, JSK138. How do you think the front court for the men's basketball team will look this year compared to last year? Completely different. Last year they had 2 7-footers. Neither of them could shoot outside of the front court, couldn't step out to three. Malik Dia, he can do that. He actually flirted with the NBA, entered the NBA draft, tested the waters in the offseason, previously of Belmont and Vanderbilt. And talk about a true stretch four. He looks the part. They love Mikael Brown-Jones, another transfer. They love Dre Davis. I think their front court, what's most exciting about it, is they don't have to stick to the rigidness of the 7-footers and rim protection. Yeah, they sacrificed some of that. They don't have that height anymore. But what they do have is more offensive versatility, especially spaced out to three, that those two just did not offer. So it's a big change, but also I think a much-needed change to take Ole Miss from a 20-win team and on the fringe of the NCAA tournament into preseason-ranked top 24 and right there. I mean, if this team doesn't make the tournament, it's a failure. Just like if this Ole Miss football team doesn't make the playoff, it's a failure, because I think not only has Beard done a tremendous job of player and roster management here, but also Ole Miss fans who typically don't support, basketball's typically the number 3 supported sport here as far as money, real dollars, to go get it done. And Ole Miss fans have stepped up, because you can't go get or bring back Matthew Morrell for a 5th year. He was trying to leave 3 years ago to go pro. Jamin Brakefield, a huge get. I mean, all of this, it means that everyone's pulling in the same direction. That's most encouraging, I think, for Ole Miss basketball particularly. And that front court is going to be a strength for them, unlike last year where teams could pick on them. Rambling Rebel, any updates on Bentley's situation as a playing running back? I mean, he's playing. I don't know. We saw him play against LSU. Let's hope that Lane is a man who means what he says and says what he means, and it's performance-based. Because if you take his 11 carries, extrapolate them out, considering his past work as the highest graded returning running back in the SEC, he should be your number one. And Henry Parrish cannot be a pass protector anymore. If it has to be Caden Priestcorn back there as an H-back, fine. Fine. And also from Rambling Rebel, ain't it always a great day to be a rebel? Every day is a good day. God is good. Food is great. Whiskey burns going down. Swag Kelly, if you had to predict the starting offensive line for next Saturday, what is your guess? Ooh, great question. I don't know the injury situation for Jaden Williams. I know our Chuck was reporting at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, that Jaden Williams was doing squats this week. He'd had that meniscus or knee injury. I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was fear that he tore his ACL too, that he was going to be out for the year. And to hear that he's now squatting this week is exciting because that means he might be pretty close to returning. And if he's their best offensive lineman, which by the numbers he is, he will be starting at left tackle. If Jeremy James is back, I think he'd be starting at a guard spot. Possibly even at a tackle, right tackle, if they try Micah Pettis at guard, which I don't think they're going to do. If they haven't done it by this point, they're just going to ride with Micah Pettis. We talked about on Wednesday, Lane having his guys. His all, not 22, but 30, and that's his 30. I think Micah Davis is one of those guys for right tackle, even though he's not a good pass protector, and he hasn't gotten better. Let's hope that that road grading beast can figure out how to move his feet a little bit better if he's going to continue to start every single game at right tackle. But I think Micah Pettis at right, Jeremy James at right guard. Center, I have no idea. If it's up to Lane, sure looks like it's always going to be Reese McIntyre, but I would have tried Caleb Warren against LSU. Joe Judge believes that Jerquan Scott should be Ole Miss's starting center. Left guard is going to be Julius Buelo. No, Nate Kalepo. Julius Buelo is just, he's been tough. So Nate Kalepo, probably stay at right guard. Jeremy James can play both. He's going to be in there, and so is Jaden Williams. And I think that could help because this current five, this current configuration, obviously, as Swag Kelly's alluding to, it's just not working. MBReb38, any update on Diggs' status, progress, recovery? I think he's come along pretty good, getting close, I think. And there was a real concern that he wasn't going to be able to show up for him next year. That's still simmering a little because it was a very serious injury. But I know that Logan Diggs is hell-bent on getting out there on the field. And you want to talk about a difference maker at running back. There's a reason why, despite everything, Rashad Amos and Dominique Smith aren't playing. They obviously aren't as good as the ones playing, which is a scary thought, but Logan Diggs can really help Ole Miss.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297. Or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. To out there wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire. Customer inspired.
You know when you discover a new binge-worthy show or that song you can't help but leave on repeat? You just have to share it with your friends, right? Because who doesn't want to spread awesomeness? Now you know how I feel telling you now about Mint Mobile. Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan today. It's such a good deal, I couldn't keep it to myself. My past plans have gone as high as $100. Friends don't let friends overpay for wireless. Time to say so long to those overpriced wireless plans and switch to Mint Mobile. All plans come with high-speed data and unlimited talk and text delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. And don't worry, Mint Mobile will get all your old stuff off your old phone, including those existing contacts. So don't wait another second. Get your new 3-month premium wireless plan for just $15 a month at mintmobile.com/TOC. That's mintmobile.com/TOC. $45 upfront payment required. New customers on first 3-month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
Here in America, work is in trouble. We've offshored our manufacturing, sent away good jobs, and lost so much ability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make high-quality clothing for a summer wardrobe you'll love, all made right here in the USA. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rebel Bagman. How does Rebel Bagman get on the show as a guest appearance? Leave me a voice recording. Send me an email. If you want to get on the show, I'm going to let Tyler Keith do his thing coming out of break in a minute. Do go to Ben, or send the voice recording to in an email, ben.garrett@own3.com, G-A-R-R-E-T-T.
Listen to your podcasts, Tuesday, whenever you came out with it, talking about the playoffs. As long as you went out 10-2 in the SEC, I would bet a 9-3 team, maybe even from the SEC, gets in the playoffs. LSU and Kentucky that had everything, had to have everything go right, and they did have everything go right for them to beat Ole Miss. Dart and Priestcorn not seeing, quote, eye to eye, and I was told that was false. They're besties. Lane, if you want to go to Florida, go. I think that's dumb for any, you know, any of our fans. Lane is the reason we have these expectations. Lane is the reason we are winning like we are. And I know you said, you know, he's not because it's us, the fans, giving the money. Well, Lane's the reason for that. Because remember, after Auburn, we had a huge push of NIL to keep Lane here. That Lane is the reason for our NIL. And you said, you know, Kirby Smart, guarding is going to be Ole Miss's Kirby Smart. There's no guarantee of that. He hadn't coached a head coach first game. He could be Luke 2.0. It's just hard for me to, you know, put that higher label on an assistant coach.
King Reb, explain what you think happened with Kiffin's reaction towards Kevin Smith after Bentley's TD. Excitement or I told you so? No, this isn't an I told you so, because this wasn't Kevin Smith's reason. I mean, Bentley's sitting wasn't because of Kevin Smith. It was because Lane Kiffin took it personal, and it started really just to kind of avalanche downhill, snowball downhill, when Ulysses Bentley showed up in the summer 25 pounds overweight. So I just think it was excitement. With Lane, I don't put too much into that. He's an emotional guy as far as wearing his emotions on his sleeve. He ain't going to tell you nothing. But you could see him, like, he's just excited, I'm sure. Or maybe there was, like, an internal conflict in regards to, okay, I don't know. I mean, I don't pretend to be a body language expert. Ole Miss Reb 10. Would Ole Miss football be better suited to continue this all-in portal approach or focus more on high school recruiting in the future? Well, they're focused on both. It's just they're not going to overemphasize high school recruiting. They're not going to say, well, we got to sign the number 10 class because half of them will transfer out probably if the rules stay the same. So, and that's everywhere. You're seeing that everywhere. So they've been very high school focused. I mean, Xavier Harris is awesome. He's a developmental success story. Caden Lee's a good example of that. Cam Franklin's going to be good. I love all of those freshman defensive linemen. Jeffrey Rush, Cam Beavers. I mean, there are a lot of good ones. Jamarius Brown's been really good for them. It's not the defensive issue. So, yeah, Ole Miss became a contender because it was forward-thinking and progressive and proactive in the transfer space, portal space, and I fully expect them to continue to do that. Ole Miss Reb 10 again. Let's assume Ole Miss gets in the playoff. Long shot, I know. Who are the other SEC teams in the field? That's a great question. I don't have confidence in any SEC teams right now. I think just as every SEC team could beat Ole Miss on its schedule, left on its schedule, I think Ole Miss could beat any of the teams left on its schedule as well. And remember, Ole Miss was favored after it started 4-0 or 5-0, after Wake Forest, before Kentucky, it was favored in each of its remaining games, even Georgia at home, favored over all of these teams. They were a 15.5-point favorite over Kentucky. That's what makes it even more inexplicable. Here's another good note I found on the internet. Ole Miss's percentage chance to win ESPN has a game tracker that keeps the percentage of how close a team or if a team should win. It's predictive quality of a win. In the Kentucky and Ole Miss and Ole Miss LSU games, in the fourth quarter with under 4 minutes remaining, Ole Miss had against Kentucky a 93% chance to win, and against LSU 95%, and they found a way to lose. Just snatching victory from the jaws, or snatching defeat from the jaws of victory. Unbelievable. Ugh. Colonel Blackfin, will Kiffin be more involved in offensive play calling? Mentioned this on Wednesday. I think so, but don't get too excited because didn't he take over against LSU in overtime and they went backwards. Major E's, with the struggles the last season at O-line recruiting, is there any chance we see a coaching change at offensive line? Yeah, I mean, I don't know this. This is not coming from anything but being an observer and following and covering Lane for 5 years, that he has never been shy about making changes. So, yeah, I think there's a real chance, but I don't know anything. I haven't heard anything in that way. But track record shows you that Lane Kiffin, as far as it comes to shaking up his coaching staff, has absolutely no problem doing so. Kane Liffin, do you think Dart has a pro future, or is he Matt 2.0? I think he's Matt 2.0. Matt went in the third round, I think. I overvalued him because he's an Ole Miss guy, and he was awesome. But he was undersized as far as an NFL prospect. Big arm, but not particularly accurate downfield. Huge arm. He had a bigger arm than Jackson Dart. And Jackson Dart not only can't get the ball downfield, he's not accurate either. So I think he's Matt 2.0. And I think Mel Kiper currently has him, I want to say number 8 or number 9, in his current draft order. So he's got some work to do. But, you know, the bottom line is this. Jackson, find Caden. He's open. Stop trying to force big plays downfield. Your arm can't handle it, and you're trying to force it into coverage. And if you look, your 6'6 tight end is wide open. Ole Miss Hunter 970. Why should we care about Ole Miss sports anymore? Because it's fun. That's the beautiful thing about going on that trip to Disney World for me this weekend. It forced me to not be glued to my seat for Ole Miss LSU. I remember going to Disney World with Emily and her side of the family once and staying in and missing family time with my girls and everyone because I had to see the Cowboys play a game. I can't even remember who the Cowboys were playing. That's a false idol. That's insane. So you can enjoy it. You can care about it, but, you know, contextualize it. Put it where it is. Don't make it what I made it, which was everything. Now it's just the thing that we like to follow. It's fun. I don't watch all the baseball games anymore. I haven't watched any of the playoffs since the Braves were eliminated. I don't care. I've grown up on Ole Miss stuff. I have an old Daily Journal from 2001 on my wall of Eli and Joe Gunn beating Alabama. Why care? Because it's part of who I am. It's also what I do, thank God. What an amazing job. But of course you should care. Otherwise, what else are you going to go care about? I mean, give it to God first and foremost, then your family. What else is there? You know, this is my job, but also it's fun. And if you got something you want to say about any of it, Ole Miss Hunter 970, if you want to drop a frustrating voicemail, do that. Ben.Garrett@Dolan3.com, but don't stop caring. No, that's no fun. DC Red and Blue. When we win the toss, shouldn't we elect to kick? Yes, but Lane won't. Body Ben, what does it take to end the We Are Ole Miss curse? There are no such thing as curses. Just embrace what We Are Ole Miss is and stop thinking of it in a negative way and more like, hey, we are Ole Miss. Those guys and players and coaches that used to be a part of it, they are, but also it's really our script. So we are Ole Miss. Own it that way. Rebel Dog 98, the question that I got is the one that I think everyone is asking at this point. What will it take to right this ship? The offensive, beautiful mind of Lane Kiffin to fix the offense because everything else is there. Mississippi Reb, 1848, LSU game. Why did we choose to run it up the one or three gap 4 times in a row with a 180-pound back? I have been asking myself that question over and over and over too. The number one highest graded offensive player for Ole Miss is J.J. Pegues, a defensive tackle. Now, it's a much smaller sample size than Jackson Dart, Trey Harris, who are second and third, I think. I hadn't looked in a little while. But J.J. Pegues is number one because of his efficiency. He's a short yardage running back. I don't understand why he didn't get the ball once in any of those 4 time carries in short yardage. He's so efficient, not just with touchdowns, but conversions. Lane has acknowledged this publicly in press conferences, so I have no idea. And they did it inside the 15, too. It makes no sense. I like Henry Parrish a lot when utilized correctly, but he is a number two, and he works better on the edges. He cannot pass pro. He got dog walked by Whit Weeks. I mean, it was bad in overtime. Play the guys that are performing. It's supposed to be pro mindset, performance-based. Leave all the other shit around. If it is only performance-based and you are playing the 160-pound running back as your pass pro, leading pass protector at running back, and also up the middle, which does not suit his skill set, of course we're going to say, what are you doing? You're the CEO. And again, it's not personal. Rebel 2, did you find out what was going on with Dart and preschool? And I didn't, just that they weren't on speaking terms or something. But that's high school drama nonsense. Guys, get it together. And Dart, look for Caden preschool. Prepaid wireless, is there an explanation for the utter disregard of high school recruiting for the offensive line? They've recruited. Preston Cushman was the next big thing. They all talked about him. I want to know why they're not playing any of them, especially when all of their linemen that they do play that are their guys are grading out so poorly. So great question. Rebels 6, what do you think of Priestcorn's wife on the video having the voice mocking with a tight end, is pointing out Mason Taylor at LSUX. LS sucks. If you're talking, that was a crazy way to phrase that. Maybe I'm just an idiot and didn't understand it, which is probably what it was. But what did I think about Caden's wife posting about getting the ball? She loves her husband, and she's a grown-ass woman that can say what she wants. Oxford 1952, recruiting kicker for next season? No idea. That is when I will get Zach Berry, our recruiting guy at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On3, on to figure out, or get him on it to figure it out. Barney Fife, is Kiffin going to listen to Florida if they fire Napier? Sure. He's listening to everybody else. And if he says he hasn't, he's lying. Dugout Reb, Ben, what in the hell is Kiffin doing to keep Ole Miss from the playoffs? Well, letting the offense that's supposed to be one of the best in the country and deadliest look like a pedestrian little whiny, cowardly bunch. Especially when pitted against defenses in the SEC that are equal to or if not better in talent. I mean, they're getting bullied. So what is he doing? I hope figuring out the one thing we all thought was the sure thing. H. Toddy, why are we not running exotic eye candy plays and not using the middle of the field? Be explosive. I agree. Agreed. Rebel 88, when will Marshall Henderson's name and number be up in the rafters at the pavilion? That's a great question. The next time I have Keith Carter on, I'm going to find that out because Marshall is the best. Friend of mine, actually saw a picture of him the other day in Disney World. Friend of mine. I love Marshall Henderson. He's coaching now, and yes, he deserves to have his number and name retired. I mean, who don't want to see the Auburn jersey pop for eternity? Rebel 88 again, does Jackson Dart remind you of Bryce Young? Bryce had a better, more accurate arm. He's just, Jackson's taller, he's thicker, he can run, he has that component that Bryce doesn't have. Bryce is tiny. Tiny. I still think he'll be fine once he leaves the Panthers because the Panthers are just a train wreck. And Rebel 88, to close us out, follow up, are we 7-0 with a healthy Matt Corral, all things equal? With that offensive line, even Matt would struggle. But Matt was a different breed. He could connect on those deep balls that Jackson has missed on countless times so far this year, especially against LSU. Now, Trey Harris dropped that ball. But we've talked about that. And somebody pointed out in the YouTube comments, Ben, you're a little unfair to Juice, and they're absolutely right. But I would argue, too, that Ole Miss' wide receivers aren't getting schemed open, one, but they're not really very good route runners either. They're not coming off the line of scrimmage in a way that creates separation in this surprisingly rigid and traditional basic offensive structure. So, would Ole Miss be 7-0 with a healthy Matt Corral? Probably. But I don't think it's Jackson Dart's fault. I think his offensive line, the offensive line has been a disaster. And they recruited to replace any number of starters, like with Preston Cushman, Cam East. Where are they? Especially if the transfers you signed over them aren't performing. If it's performance-based, pro mindset, give them a shot. What's the worst that could happen? You could lose for the latest time since 2008 at LSU. Guess what? It happened. Give Jackson Dart an opportunity. Matt Corral would struggle with this. This offensive line wasn't supposed to be like this. And you wanted to recruit and sign transfers to replace Jeremy James and Caleb Warren, Jaden Williams. Jaden Williams, who you replaced or trying to replace with Diego Pounds, and he's been your best graded offensive lineman. Maybe what was old is new again on that offensive line, and that's what you need, Lane. To trust that there are other guys outside of your guys. Maybe not be so prideful as far as my all 30 is my all 30 and I know more than everybody else. I don't pretend to know shit. Nothing. I just like Ole Miss football and I thought Ole Miss was supposed to win a title this year or at least be in it. And y'all are, you know, fighting and clawing for dear life at this point. So enjoy the bye week weekend. Detox. Chill. Enjoy some stress-free football. And next week, we'll come back And we'll get ready for Oklahoma. Oklahoma, which Ole Miss should beat pretty handily. We'll get to that next week. Because only good vibes in Frye, Bayside High, represent Riverland Roofing, the house up top, Riverland Roofing, for all of your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. You can check them out at riverlandroofing.com. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter. Check me out and all my friends, Zach Berry, the recruiting expert, Chuck Ronsville, the OG sports reporter since the 80s, Jake Thompson, my dude on the ground. Check us out at the Ole Miss Spirit. Come talk to us, omspirit.com, an affiliate of On3. And if you sign up today with code JOIN50, you get 50% off a sub. So come on, we'd love to have you. All we talk about is Ole Miss sports. I don't want to talk about politics. I don't want to talk about anything else. I want to know why Ole Miss football is 5-2 with losses to a team in Kentucky that's lost all their other SEC games and a shitty LSU defense, and the offense couldn't score. So come tell me about it. Maybe you probably know more than me. I'm an idiot. The Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On3. Have a good one. Good weekend. Take care of each other. God bless, and we'll see you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.